ॐ गणानां त्वा गणपतिगुं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमं ज्येष्ठराजं ब्रह्मणां ब्रह्मणस्पत आनशृण्वन् ऊथिभिः सेदसातनम् ॐ श्रीमहागणपतये नमः सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवता नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन क्रथितां पुराणमुनिना मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीं भगवतीं अष्टादशाध्यायिनीम् अम्बत्वामनुसन्दधामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणीं सर्वोपनिषदो गावः दुग्धा गोपालनन्दनः पार्थो वत्ससुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं महत् इयं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनः यस्यान्तं न विदुःसुरासुरगणाः देवाय तस्मै नमः। Very good. So we've reached up to verse 34, I believe. So let's read 34 today. Tadviddhi pranipatena. तद्विद्धि प्रणिपातेन परिप्रश्नेन सेवया परिप्रश्नेन सेवया उपदेक्षन्ति ते ज्ञानम् उपदेक्षन्ति ते ज्ञानम् ज्ञानिनस्तत्त्वदर्शिनः ज्ञानिनस्तत्त्वदर्शिनः। May you gain that knowledge by prostration, by service, and by proper inquiry. The wise sages will impart that knowledge to you. So this is after Sri Krishna has given a lot of the teachings. Now he's telling the methodology how to learn this, how one can go and how can one can obtain the knowledge. So one thing with Vedantic inquiry, it's self-inquiry, that's true, but self-inquiry, then it's not somebody one just does on their own, because look, we've analyzed ourselves in many ways our whole life, but that hasn't fixed everything, right? We haven't gotten to what we're looking for. So when I analyze myself on my own, then I'm doing within the sphere of the individual. But here, Vedanta is looking beyond yourself as the individual. So for me to look at myself, I want to go beyond myself. It's, you know, highly unlikely one will be able to do it without, you know, just on one's own. So that's why traditionally in Vedantic study, the way it is, Shastra is needed, meaning the guidebook is needed. Just for me to figure this out, because it's not something just a mental thing I can just figure out like this. And then also, just for me to look at myself, somebody pointing it out, especially somebody who knows it clearly points it out, that helps to point and makes me look beyond my own limited ideas in this way. So that's why Guru and Shastra is the traditional way to do it. Otherwise, it would be kind of difficult for us to see this. And so this is what's being pointed out here. So here, one wants to learn, so saying, okay, so how do you learn? You approach Guru and how it's approached. So first of all, the tadvitti, pranipateena, by prostration, so by humility. Because what happens is, especially in what we're studying here, is the thing is the ego will have a very difficult time to accept its limitation. The ego doesn't like that. That's why, you know, when the spouse, especially us husbands, the wives probably have something in their pocket too like this, but we're better at it when the wife says something, which is totally correct, but for us, you know, kind of like we know like this. The ego doesn't like to surrender like this. And the thing is, because that's my identity. Let go of my whole identity. Not easy. Like that. What else is there for me? So actually, as we inquire, some things we're managing to drop off, but then some things stay stuck. It's harder to let go of them like this. Nascar, how are you?
Morning.
Morning, good to see you.
Sorry, I'm a bit late.
No problem, it happens. So what happens then? So to let go of the identity myself, it's not going to be easy. We let go of the identity ourselves when we go to deep sleep, but we're not aware then. We can analyze it later, right? And now I can analyze deep sleep, I was there, but as an individual, I wasn't there. But the thing is to point to the subtle things we're discussing, it's needed, you know. So the prostration for humility, for humility's sake. Now here it's saying, sevaya, also by service. So Swami Shivananji, he says in this that, listen, if you just go to Guru and do prostration, you know, externally you can be showing your humility, but internally, you know, what's happening? It can only be external show, but then if somebody's also serving wholeheartedly, then that helps like this, get the, you know. So most important thing here is the proper attitude. I need the proper attitude for this. That's the important thing. Because if I were to go and study something else, medicine or physics or whatever it is, I study engineering. When I go and study it, yes, you know, I have to have certain decorum when I study, but this type of attitude completely isn't as necessary. Because you'll go to the college, you'll have good enough marks, you'll get in, the person will teach you. You know, as long as you follow the rules okay, you'll get a degree, and now you can know it very well, like this. So the same, but there, the ego doesn't have to go out of the way. So that's why, of course, developing humility in everything we do is useful. It's useful, makes us go through things much easier. In any case, it's a good quality to have. But here, how much more important? Because the stronger the ego, the harder for me to look beyond it. That's what I'm trying to understand, that I'm not this ego. I'm not ego. Anything I identify with, it's not that. The Upanishads say, neti neti. Whatever you can conceive or perceive, that's not what you are. So any idea you have about yourself, that's not who you are. I have an idea what Atma is. That idea is not Atma. It's an idea still, right? So, because the subtlety of the matter, how important this is. So in this way. Now, though also, the important thing here also is that the what happens though is when we want to know this, it's by teaching, by learning. By study like this. So it's like, I want to know, you know, I want to understand this subatomic particle physics. If I go to a physics professor, a very good physics professor, right here, Stanford or Berkeley, there'll be so many, I'll do puja to them, I'll worship them, and I'll serve them. Now I'm going to know physics, right? If I do that and I'm hanging around their circles, I'll hear the things and slowly learn. But if I just do that, but not study or learn, I won't. I won't know physics. I'll develop some loving attitude, which is very good, but I won't know physics. So why is it different here? People think things different. We discussed about, not too long ago, about surrender, full surrender. There's no full surrender in the way that who surrenders? If I surrender the ego, I'm not the ego. But then how can that be? How can I fully surrender? The only full surrender is that can be through understanding, I'm not the ego. So that's through understanding. That's not through the type of surrender we talk about. The surrender we talk about is a very good attitude and very good, you know, it is a level of humility, so it's good. But it doesn't solve all the issues. So that's why the study is the important thing. So pariparashnena is talked about. One has to then study and then have, you know, questions, not just prashna, pariprashna, very well thought through questions about. Because again, if we take the example that somebody is studying, you know, studying something with a scholar, and then what happens is somebody has a question about, like right now, this Sanskrit Sutra class that I'm studying in. So like 15, 20 people like this online, the teacher's teaching like this Laghu Siddhanta Kaumudi, the certain configuration of the important sutras of Parini Sutras. So there, towards the end of the class, when it's time for questions, somebody asked something, most people had left, but he went on for some time and said, wow, this is very good that at this level that we're doing, which is more introductory level for sutras, that these questions are coming up very good. So the teacher will be very happy, somebody has interest asking something further. So in this study too, if somebody's studying it, if you go to the physics professor and you're really studying, there's some subtle questions you have, they'll be very happy and want to look into it. If people just have general questions, or, you know, when somebody comes with questions in Vedanta class, also you can see the person really looking into it, or really have a doubt they want to clear, or, you know, something else. So this is the, if somebody really wants to know, that'll also bring out more of the teachings. So much so, actually, that's why the Upanishads are there. Just now, I'm listening to a series of talks Swami Tatviranandaji just gave in Rishikesh, like this. So in there, he explained very interestingly why we have the Upanishads all together. Because imagine, when the Vedas are there, somebody studies it. And it's teaching, okay, there's the God behind everything. You do these rituals, you can go to the heaven. And teach, there's law of karma, all these things. But then one person will start saying, hey, but can you do a karma and you'll go to heaven, be there forever? Doesn't seem to do, how can something be eternal like this, right? They talk about the God. Can the God be infinite eternal? How can that be? What is this that would be? So these questions will come up by the thinking student. Because of that, because of those questions, Upanishads come up because the person comes and asks the question. A lot of the Upanishads start with the question, or then it's implied there must have been some question by somebody really is wanting to know deeply, so then it's taught. Traditionally also it's taught because somebody comes with a question like that. This is that somebody wants to know, so they come and ask. So then the teacher starts teaching, and that's how it comes. Like here, Gita, Arjuna wants to know. He asks him. Because at the beginning, Sri Krishna tells him, you know, just get up. What's this? You know, you're not... Why do you think you're so weak? What's wrong with you? Get up, you can fight. So he did scold him like this, right? But that didn't do it. So now, to fix the problem, the teaching is being used. So here, same thing, the understanding is needed. So somebody really wants to know, they're going to study, they're going to have questions, they'll ask until they are satisfied, they're going to want to know. So pariprashna are so important, really studying, asking, wanting to know. This is part of our mananam, because mananam is to remove the doubts. So something I'm not, first of all, just not clear what is being said, that's one thing. But then why it doesn't fit together, I ask about. Here I reflect on that, because I want to get rid of the doubts. The doubts are what? Because I have some idea, I'm a conscious being and that's not limited. And I have a conflicting idea, I'm this limited person. And so, what's the gulf between the two? Obviously I can't be both like this. Some Vishishtadvaita, some make some sort of idea of some mixture, but it's kind of like saying it can be day and night at the same time, you know. Something can be real and unreal, that's it's maybe is a good stepping stone, but it's absolute, it can't be. You know, maybe when you're doing a calculation, you put something in the middle, okay, but it can't be the final at the end in this way. So in this way, in the end, it has to get to this. So one or the other can be the absolute truth. And then there's a conflict. Why? I still don't have clarity about, and I have doubts about also. So those doubts have to be removed. So asking to really know like this. So in this way. So this is what this is saying. This is how. And then, of course, by this then, that'll help for the teaching to come forth. Because the teaching then, we help to pull it out that way if you want. And then the teaching is, the important thing with the teaching is, as we learn, as it's pointed out by Acharya, then it becomes more clear to us, like this. Then when I study, if I read it, pointing the same thing. But this is very important because it helps to show how to look into this. It's because I have to think, I have to inquire, but it shows the direction of how to inquire. That's really what it shows. Because in the end, mind, I have to understand, I have to know, you know, that somebody else knows. Like again, example that was given, that somebody went to some guru, and this guru had said, you know, somewhere in the titles, they have these big titles, so that this, in the title saying, big scholar of Shankara Vedanta. And when the person came and saluted and said, oh, you know, I'm very happy to hear that you're a scholar in this, he said, actually, I haven't studied, but my guru was a scholar in that, so I inherited the title. So I can leave the guru, the guru knows that, but I don't have to know. So then, so inheriting the title or the, you know, standing in the shadow, yes, my guru knows, so I feel safe. You know, it's good at the beginning, like you hold on to Ishta Devata, it's okay, but it's not going to get us to the end. That's Shraddha, but not Jnanam, like this. So I think that, yeah, so that makes an important thing here, being the proper instrument. Proper instrument is there, then, you know, then things can come around. So let's continue from here, number 35 here. Yajñātvā na punaram moham Yajñātvā na punaram moham Evam yāsyasi pāṇḍava Evam yāsyasi pāṇḍava Yena bhūtānya śeṣena Yena bhūtānya śeṣena Drakṣyasyātman yathō mayi Drakṣyasyātman yathō mayi. After gaining that knowledge, you will not get into delusion in this matter once again. O Arjuna, by that knowledge, you will see all beings without exception in me as well as in yourself. So first point here given, yes. After knowing, then the delusion can't come back again. So if I leave my garden hose out regularly, right? Or you go and stay somewhere because not your own place. And at night you think you saw the snake. And then you turn the light and you saw it was the garden hose there. When you go there again the next evening, are you going to think it's a snake? Even though it's the same thing, twilight, they don't. It won't trick you again because you know. So it's not going to confuse you again. Something you don't know, you know, I don't know something. Like here, I'll tell you a funny one, not knowing. My father, because he used to, he was one of the first professor computer programming in Israel, when he was the professor computer programming in the small university where I grew up. It's mathematics and computer science department. He was the and computer science. Since then, it's grown and changed. So then the private sector later here, back in the U.S., so then when he hired people, first time he hired an Indian programmer, first time like this. So the person started working and then he explained something in the project to do this. And then he asked, okay, you understood? And first the person did, you know, his head side to side like this. And the thing is, he's used to, you know, in the West, that looks more like the no symbol, no. Oh, so explain a little more. And again, do you understand like this? Right? So because he didn't know this manner, isn't it? That means okay, or yes, right? How that head is nodded. So then there is the confusion. Later, maybe the person, it's explained, he understands the cultural thing, because he's not familiar with that culture, then he got familiar. Now, will he get confused about it again? No, you know. That specific thing, he won't get confused, because then if somebody else comes from an Indian program will come and do that, understand, oh yeah, that means yes. So like this, the confusion won't come back. Now, of course, somebody will say, well, you know something, but then, you know, you get some degenerative disease, your mind doesn't know, you can forget, you can have amnesia. It's true, mental things, yes, those things can be forgotten, but this isn't something of the mind. The confusion is in the mind, but once I know I'm not the mind, how can the mind fool me again? It's like the rope, like the snake rope again. I know I'm not the mind. So how come the mind, whatever the mind will think, I'm not going to believe it anymore? Now, some of the time, maybe I can be Sakshi, but I identify so much with the mind readily. But if I have clear knowledge of that, I can't, you know, it's not going to fool me again like this. So this is what it says, that's why. Otherwise, there's no such thing as moksha, meaning moksha, something can start and can end. It's not real moksha. It's like a vacation, like the idea of going to the heaven. You go to heaven for some time. When that punya is finished, you come back to here. You have to, you know, that's it, it's done. So it would be like this. We say moksha is not like that. That's why moksha is not something created, but something that's always there. I just am not aware of it, that I am free, like this. So this is with this first one that, okay, that if you, once the moha is gone, then, no question, then you won't, you know, you won't, it won't occur again. Now what happens is, when we had the snake, right, the snake is there. I turned on the light, I saw the rope. Now the snake is gone. I didn't chase the snake away, I didn't catch it and put it out. I didn't come with something in, or have somebody else come. And because I'm scared of it and catch it, take it away. By removing the ignorance about it, the ignorance of the rope, the snake is gone. So the fear which was a byproduct is also gone now. I don't have fear anymore from that. So the fear went away by knowledge of the by removing the avidya. So here, as we said, the samsara we're talking about here in Gita is avidya is the base. And then from that raga comes, because I project something else, so I get attached to something, because I don't have clear understanding that I'm the, you know, not limited. So then I project that I'm limited. Now fear comes up, because now fear, what'll happen to me, right? Oh, there's some symptom, what'll happen to me? The doctors say, well, we'll have to do a test, because there's a, you know, there's a very small percent, 5% chance, 3% chance, maybe something. So then we don't think, oh yeah, 95% chance, so probably not. We think, oh no, it's probably this. I must fall in that 3%. But in any case, so this happens. So once the understanding that I'm not this, then where will the fear be? So the raga comes, I identify, so raga comes. Raga likes, dislikes, fear, etc. And from that moha comes, because then, you know, then from the strong attachment, then the mind also isn't thinking clearly, and I see things in a twisted way, which was Adrichana's issue. He's saying his dharma yudha is adharma yudha, the war which is supposed to be for righteous thing. He's saying, oh, we're doing a awful thing that we want to, we're going to cause so much trouble. Because of the attachment to, that he has to fight with the family that he doesn't want to, but it's the attachment that brings up everything else. So the moha, the delusion, comes from raga and everything. And the raga from avidya. So here we say, the teaching is to remove avidya. When avidya is gone, raga moha will go too. Just like the fear went away when I knew the snake. So it goes to the root cause, to the source of the problem. By getting rid of the source, the later part is gone like this. So this is what's being pointed out here, that how this works, how this teaching works. That's why yatva napunar moham evam yasasi pandava, I can't come back, because you've gone to the root of it. It's pulled out from the root. It doesn't have come back. What happens is, for your sleep, for the next dream to come, you have to stay, you have to still forget your wakeful state, that you're with the waker. The moment you're waking up, you wake up, that you know that you're not the dreamer, you won't go into a next dream. It won't happen. There has to be somebody identifying as dreamer for that dream to come. So if I know I'm not the limited being, you need some nucleus, identify as an individual to have another birth, but I can't have because I'm not identified with it like this. That's the first part of the verse, but then it says, but then all beings are within you, if you know this, right? When you know this, nothing is outside of you. I remember a long time back, reading Swami Shivananji, he said, you know, because he talks of so many different, all different angles, great saint. So he said how one way, if you somebody who sees the whole world as within themselves, then, you know, they obtain moksha. I didn't understand then. Studying more Vedanta becomes clearer because in the end, you're chit, you're the consciousness. Everything is within your consciousness. So everything is apparent within it. So then you're free because you know that it's not, it doesn't, the consciousness that you are is the substance. The rest is an appearance within it. Rest is namarupa. Name and form doesn't have substance. It's like a wave isn't a substance. The substance is water. Object, name and form isn't substance. Substance, then, is the consciousness. So everything is appearing within you, just like your dream world. Seems everything's outside, but everything really in the end was within you, like this. So you'll see everything's just within you. Now, so everything is within you, the conscious being. Not you, the individual. Not you, the ego. Within you, the ego? No. Within this body? No. This body is, if I take from the physical perspective, it's something. It is like a wave within the totality here. Within the mind is also something limited. But I, the conscious being, everything appears within that. But then he says, but also everything's within me, within the Ishvara, within Brahman, the totality. There's one Sat, one absolute, absolute existence. Everything is within that. Because as we said, Brahman, if I keep going, the table is made out of wood. So wood is Sat. Table is namarupa, name and form. So really substance is wood. And then, so that's sat. But it's a one step sat, because that's relative sat. And then that's made out of, you know, molecules and everything. Same with everything else here, all molecules. You keep going down, down. Eventually you have to get to the one substance. So one substance we call Brahman, which is everything. Absolute existence, so everything is within that. Now, everything's within that one sat, right? Which is the Brahman. Everything's in that one chit, which is me, the consciousness. So which one is it? Now I have two. It's like the idea, God is in and through everything. Oh no, but there's everything, but there's material and the God are not the same. People think that, how can it be? How can it be that if it's not the same thing, how can the God be in and through everything? But you have to be able to find some way to look closely enough that you can separate the two. But you can't if you look closely enough. There's not two things, like water and wave, separate. You can't, the substance. So we'll say there are two. So again, that's dvaita, that there is material world and there is consciousness. Apparent dvaita, but saying it's within, everything is within me, everything's within you, he's saying. So meaning here, it's saying we're one and the same, otherwise it wouldn't make sense. So really, how this one, how dvaitis, interpret this as that not jivatma, paramatma, aikyam, that the individual, the conscious being, and the absolute totality aren't the same. I don't know how they'd have to, it's kind of like, you know, doing this, taking your hand over the head to grab onto your ear. I don't see how else that, you know, there must be some smart interpretations. But in any case, showing they have to be the same thing. And this is one of the, there are certain, like these, the ideas that seem to be conflicting, like this, that it doesn't say, and those things have to be resolved. If I resolve something like this, then the essence is there. Because that sat and chit aren't two different things. So really, that's what it is. Sat, because sat is everything. is meaning the existence, pure existence. Within all my experience, it's based on chit, either conscious being. And then they see, this seems to be the duality. From there, everything else is born, that these are two separate things. But here he's saying, no, those are two. He's really here saying sat and chit are the same thing in this way. So this is one of those things that have to be resolved with subtle understanding. So one thing you can say about it is sat, pure existence. Everything is sat. My body is part of it too, my mind, because it's all part of the manifest world. Manifest world, one thing behind everything, right? Like this. And then, so it's not something limited. When I look at myself as chit, just as the conscious being, pure awareness, then also when I drop my idea of body-mind, I'm sakshi also, I don't see this limitation. So first of all, as the manifest individual, yes, there's no separate manifest individual because one sat. This is part of the whole ocean of existence. And there's one absolute behind, so it can't be something separate. So that's not limited. Then chit also, I can't see something limited because I know when I drop my limited ideas, there's no limitation also as a conscious being. So now I have sat and chit. But now, can you ever find sat without chit? Can you ever find it? No, nothing in this world can ever be validated without chit being there. So meaning sat and chit, you can never have sat without chit. Theoretically, somebody will say, but theoretically, but practically, but theoretically, the moment you think of something, chit is there. The moment you experience something, chit is there. It's like there's a movie you're seeing, you'll say, hey, I wonder if that character can be there without the light, without the light of this. Theoretically, oh yeah, there must be, but that's, you're just talking about some theory, but practically, you can never see without, ever. So one is unlimited, one unlimited. Two things are unlimited, you never see them separate. How are they going to be two separate things? Like that. So sat and chit have to be the same. They can't be two separate things. There's another nice point that's pointed out about why sat with the sat and chit. He says, within me and within you, you'll see everything within you, you the conscious being, and everything is within me. Says, well, okay, let's say you the conscious being, Atma, there's you the conscious being, Atma, there's the Brahman. So let's say Brahman is sat, right? Now, you the individual being, then if you aren't also, if that's absolute, you aren't, then you're mithya. You're mithya. Can you be mithya? You know, part my name and form maybe, but I know I am. So that can't be. It can't negate. I can't be negated like this. And then if I say, well, there's all sat, because sat means it's one unlimited, right? One unlimited meaning, there's part, you can't break it to parts, because the moment you break in parts, it's not something unlimited. So then I, the individual, has to be cancelled. It can't be sat. But if I, the conscious being, I'm the, if I am sat, then no, I exist. But the absolute, the one out there, then I'll negate, but I exist, but then not only I, the conscious being, but not the Brahman, then I make the Brahman a sat. If I am not Brahman and I'm sat, Brahman is a sat. So there's no sat. So it starts going to these conflicting things. You can't have one of those be sat and one not be sat. They can't both be sat and do separate things. Two pure existences can't be because then they collide and there must be something, some substratum. So what happens is sat and chit, they cannot be two different things. We really look into it. I am and I know is always there. Anything experienced by any conscious being, sat and chit are there. So you can't, it's something you'll never be able to separate like this. So in this way, everything is within me, he says, meaning within Parabrahman. Everything is within Atma, meaning they're not two different things. It's just a projection. Because the separation is there, I and world, ahamidam, separation. They're both ideas. I, as a limited entity, is an idea. This, something else, is also an idea. Because when I drop those ideas, deep sleep, there's no separation. The only thing, then I'm total ignorant, so I don't see it, that's all. But Those are also ideas, just like ego, limited idea. My limitation is an idea. All these are ideas. How do I know the ideas are there? Because I'm a conscious being, I'm Sakshi, so I'm aware of it. But I identify with it, right? That's the moha. It's the moha, I identify with that. Like the dream, I identify. And the interesting thing, which I think is a very good answer to this point, is people say, well, how come I can be so confused? How come everybody could be so deluded by this? How come you say that? Well, everybody in the world has a dream, have dreams. Every night dreams, and every night we identify with the dream. How quickly we can identify with a different situation, just like that, and think of it as real. How easily it is. If it's so easy then, this is so much thicker, of course, it can be so easy to be deluded by it in this way. So in this way, let me say yes, if this is the substratum is the sat-chit, that's what you are. And so then there's no, because really reality is no, there's no individual. There's you are there, but not the individual. The totality is there too, but not name and form. That's the absolute, like this. The rest is superimposition on it, ideas on it, like this. So this way, this is what's pointed out here, like this. And one thing here also is here, Arjuna started this whole thing because of a problem, conflict. And then we want to solve all our problems and conflicts. Well, within the dream, you can never solve all the problems of the dream. Never solve it. Only time they're solved is when you wake up out of the dream. So same thing here. Those conflicts are never fully resolved. You cannot resolve everything here. Not possible, no matter what you do. But this is the only way to resolve it, to really resolve. We take care of what we need to here anyway, our duty, but that doesn't mean we're going to resolve everything. Not possible. Only resolution once you know the unlimited, then, okay, some things, what's it? It's not the end, nothing is really. Because whatever role you play, it's always limited, always the, any karma, karma pala, limited. So that's never going to totally solve. This is the only way to really solve. Like that. Everything else will keep banging, banging, but we won't solve. Like that. So let's see how he continues about this. Apiche dasi pape pyaha. Apiche dasi pape pyaha. Sarve bhyaf papa krittamaha. Sarvebhyah papa krittamaha sarvam jnana plave naivah sarvam jnana plave naivah virjinam santarishyasi virjinam santarishyasi. Even if you are the worst sinner of all sinners, you will cross over the entire ocean of sin by the boat of knowledge itself. So giving hypothetical point here, because what happens is showing that, first of all, for fixing all the problem of karma pala, because we can never, you can never do an action that's 100%, gives 100% punya, right? Impossible, because everything will have some mix in it. Whole world is a mixture of things. So it can be, you know, mostly great punya, but some negative things, something will be there too. You can't have like this. But in any case, you can never totally solve everything, get rid of all of my karma pala. You can't get rid of that through activity. There's no way to do that. Because any activity you do brings a result, so I have to take care of that too. So you can never totally, totally clear everything. Whatever you do, more comes. In Devi Mahatmyam, they have a nice illustration there of that Rakta Bija. Rakta Bija, the demon, that the moment it's cut in the battle, even if the head is chopped off, the blood drops on the floor. The moment the blood touches the earth, every drop of blood becomes another one, another demon, the exact same copy comes up. So you can't get rid of that demon, because as your tactic keeps coming up, what are you going to do in this way? How can you get rid of it? So in Devi Mahatmyam, because the thing is the Puranas, they give illustrations, but the illustrations are for a lot for what we're talking about, so you can point to it. But people just take, and sometimes the illustrations are too far removed. We can't know where it came from like this. Too many layers, I assume. But here, though, so Kali, Ma Kali takes, puts her tongue on the earth, covers the whole earth, and chops the head. So cover whole earth, swallow the whole earth is swallowed as good as being swallowed, meaning knowing that everything is just superposition, myself, the conscious being. So then the whole thing is gone, because what will happen? She just swallows the demon, be done with it. So in this way. But in a, so anything else still leaves a residual, still karma is there. Because what happens is, the papa is there, but the punya also means that I have to go through something else, right? Like some people, they travel a lot because of working. Oh, it's so nice. I go to Hawaii. I go to these nice places. People like it. Oh, I'm so fortunate. Talk to them after 2 years that they're doing that. Yeah, you know, I'm thinking to change. You think you change jobs? You spend every month in Hawaii and you have a few days off. Yeah, but you know, enough traveling going here. So imagine somebody goes to some other heavenly place. So beautiful music, and this eventually say, yeah, they're playing the same kind of music. I've been here, you know, for years, and maybe they do some little different. They speak so nice in this, but you know, it's kind of, it would be nice if it was something a little more exciting or whatever. So it never ends like this. Swami Dayananji, I heard about that. He once, one time he went to Hawaii and gave talks. He said about it, everywhere he goes to give talks, when he goes, the first day, maybe 50 people come, so next day 70, next day 125, meaning people hear about, more people come. Hawaii was the only place that it started with a certain number, just shrank, because people here are, like you went to Swaraga, you went to enjoy, so you're not going to go there for that. Like this, very interesting. But in any case, so here the hypothetical thing, which is, even if I've done the worst and worst thing, the moment the viveka is there, I know I'm not the karta, so I'm not the bhokta. Maybe I have to be in prison, maybe some severe punishment, but I know I'm not the body, I'm not the mind, so the body and mind you're doing, I'm not that one. Like this, somebody else is enjoying having so much wonderful health and wonderful opportunities and everything they like, but they're karta. They're doing a lot of, you know, very good work taking care of people, but they're karta, so they're bound by it too. So dharma, dharma is done by karta, not by atma. So if somebody is completely adharma but then has viveka, they'll be fine, like this. Now, of course, giving the hypothetical thing, because a lot of adharma, then probably the mind is going to be caught up in things, it'll be harder to have viveka. But it doesn't mean it's not possible. That's why the illustration they give, probably illustration based on a historic person, is of Milarepa, the Tibetan Buddhists talk about, who did, you know, black magic, through that he killed somebody, everything, went to guru and did tremendous tapas, and then also became gyani like this. So to show it's, so they're there to show that, you know, it doesn't, what I've done up till now doesn't mean, you know, I'm still Atma. I can still have Atma Jnana. There's nothing to stop me. So yes, purification needed. And this will be hard. Without that, it's not, you know, it'll be much harder. But viveka will get rid of the whole thing is gone. You have a nightmare. You have a wonderful dream. The moment you wake up, it's a dream. Like this. So and also to show just dharma won't do it. Somebody's a, you know, somebody's like this, like Milarepa, maybe becomes a jnani in the same life. Somebody else is a great, does great service, whole life, very, you know, does wonderful work, but they don't have viveka. So they have a lot of punya, but they're, and good preparation, but they're not jnanis, they're not going to be liberated because, you know, maybe soon after, maybe they're close, but they're not because viveka isn't there. So this is the important thing like this. So in this way. So as long as I'm karta, then I'm caught up. That's why for the serious adhikaris, then papa, you know, papa they don't want, but also punya. Dharma is also a trap. Meaning, yes, they will do good things and whatever what's needed, but they also understand that can also, the fact that I'm the actor is the issue. The identification is the problem, like this. So like that. Oh, I see that Shri had to leave at 9, he left, so no problem. So then he continues here. And actually here, just one more point about it is, he's saying this to Arjuna. So even if the person's done the worst sins, even that person, if they have Viveka Vairagya, then no problem, they can have self-knowledge. So if that person can do it, what about you, Arjuna, who's a very righteous person? How, if that person can do it, what about you, what you can also do? So what about all of us? Yeah, maybe some small things we've done and everything, no problem. Maybe I'm not perfect dharmic person, yeah, okay. But I can. There's no reason why I can't have Viveka Vairagya too. Why not? It's talking about understanding. If I really look into it, I can understand so many other things I understand very well. Why not this? Some of these things, I see some people that are, whether very, very pure, how they serve so beautifully, or that are, have tremendous minds, can really understand things very fast and everything. Say, wow, if this type of person were to look into this sincerely, how they can know it, but they don't necessarily, you know. And I've seen people that have come to a class sometimes that I know they're very knowledgeable of this, but were very good people, but doesn't jive with them at this point in time for them. So then, okay, what to do? It's not their time for it. So the thing is just having a great intellect, great understanding, and just having a just being very good person isn't what's fully going to solve this. Very good, very helpful if somebody like that, some people like that, if they look into this, maybe they can know it much faster than the average, but still caught up in other things. And some people, unfortunately, the intellect, one Mahatma says, a lot of people are intelligently miserable because they're very smart, but then they use this to understand, so they understand so much trouble, so they're very miserable because they see how much trouble everything is because they don't see something further like this. So they're very intelligent, but they become miserable, they make themselves miserable through their intelligence. Very, very unfortunate, like this. What to do? So let's continue here. Yate dhamsi samidhognihi. Yate dhamsi samidhognihi. Basmasat kurute arjuna. Basmasat kurute arjuna. Jnanagni sarva karmani. Jnanagni sarva karmani. Basmasat kurute yatha tatha. Basmasat kurute tatha. O Arjuna, the fire of knowledge reduces all karmas to ashes, just as a well-kindled fire reduces the fuel to ashes. This is 37. Yep. So what happens is, the example given, if somebody starts a fire, like unfortunately here in California, past few years, we've had a lot of these things going on, where it's fire. One of the fires, 2 years back, I think, or 1 year back, somebody actually started a small fire, and that caused huge hundreds of acres burned down. Because the moment the fire is strong enough, anything burnable in the path is going to go like that. Right? We've had the unfortunate where they had in Hawaii not long ago, and here we had a whole town of paradise here in Northern California also. So what, once the conflagration's enough, nothing can get in its way. Totally burnt away like this. So this is the example given. So the jnanam in this way also is said to be jnanagni. The jnana, the knowledge is like fire. Because if there's a certain field that you really know well, you know well that all confusion about it is gone. It's burnt away, like this. And some of the time too, you know, it takes a little bit to understand where you have to. This is actually one of the points I think earlier with the surrender. First verse we talked about the humility needed, which goes together with this knowledge. What we're talking about is not the obvious thing. So some surrender of my ideas is needed in order to accept what's not obvious. Like for instance, let's say before, you know, two generations before whatever, when talk about atoms and this wasn't known. And somebody would come and say, this table here, it's mostly space. And really, the whatever is there not space is tiny particles that are moving around very quickly. You'll look at that person, what are you talking about? So you're going to have to look into that, have to really look into an to go with that person's vision, to look into, to understand, which is not obvious to me. This is the Copernicus revolution, right? Everybody said the sun is going around the earth. Say no, earth is going around the sun. And that's it. And just because that's not what's obvious what people are saying, say no. So here, how much it's like that too. How much because it's not obvious, and then have to really have Shraddha in the teachings and surrender my ideas in order to look into it. Surrender, not some Shraddha needed to look into it. Just Shraddha, just faith, and it doesn't do it. Because then I'll sit, yes, I'm the Brahman in this, and I just believe and I have faith in it, but I don't really know it. So when it's really needed, it won't help me, because then I'm still identified as the individual. People say, I follow this faith, I have faith. It's a good thing, but then that's just one stepping stone. Look into and understand, like that. So I remember a nice example with it. When I studied the course that was the most tricky I found was a statistics, combinatorics course. Because that one doesn't go according to the usual mathematics. And we're used to everything falling in line with the usual mathematics when it's different. It's mind-boggling, and of course, the professor, doing it his whole life, he's professor teaching for 25 years, so for him it's just obvious. For you coming as a student, it's something new. We're kind of like, oh, how does that? That's how people get to calculus. A lot of people go to calculus and the same thing. Oh, how? What do you mean by that? They kind of don't know, lose their bearings. It's not going according to what they're used to. So here too, like this, it's needed. So how much, you know, I have to accept, okay, I have some faith in it, and then look into and understand it. So that's with this studying and humility we talked earlier. But here it goes with also, but when I understand those points, my misunderstanding has burnt away, it's gone. I just know, you know, it's not going to be there anymore. You know, language, you don't know language well. You start using, your misunderstanding of it at some point is gone, you know, there's no question. You know, you understand what's said, there's no confusion about it anymore. Burnt away. So with certain fields of knowledge, but here of course, from my whole misunderstanding, this clear understanding, jnanam, burns away all the misunderstanding, as good as burning away the conflagration burns everything away. Because my whole limited identity, it's, you know, it's an idea. When I really understand it's an idea, and I'm not the idea, burnt away then, how can it come back? Like earlier we said, it can't come back. It's burnt. It's gone. So, of course, the difference is between when I take the dream world, when I wake up, the dream has been burnt away. The ashes are there, meaning some memory of it, but it's ashes because it doesn't have a substance anymore. Yeah, I remember it, but it was just a dream, so. But here, when burnt away, it doesn't mean that it's going to be gone. Now, you know, seeing won't happen. If knowing, if jnanam would mean, okay, you know, So then there's no individual anymore, so you're gone. You disappear, you die, right? If that would happen, who would be here to validate the data, the knowledge? There could be no jnani to tell about it. So then how we know this jnanam? So that wouldn't really make sense. Religions that that will make somebody a saint only after they die. Like Saint Mother Teresa made a saint after she died by the church people in Kolkata, and they knew she was a saint, considered a saint earlier, not a problem. But the church won't do it because why do religions do it? One reason, tradition, it just passed down, not because of knowing anything. No, this is how we do things. Okay, but other reason is because if they're a saint when they're alive, then the institution's in trouble. because then the power is outside. This is the wonderful thing that actually in the Eastern world, in India, has been kept, is yeah, there are certain institutions, but a Mahatma is revered because of their jnanam, not because of their institution necessarily. Yes, of course, if they have guru and this, it's, you know, that is because they learn properly, that's accepted a lot. But like Ramana Maharshi, nobody has questioned about. You know, so living Mahatmas, it's so true because then it's alive. The moment it's just belongs in an institution, then it can become just technical, and then the essence can get lost like this. That's what happens a lot in religious institutions like this. Harder to keep it alive, you can say. But in any case, so then once known, it's as good as burnt. But again, here, the jnani still sees like you and I see. But they know it's, you know, the seeing happens. It's not that I am seeing. It's an appearance, right? I'm doing things. I'm talking. They know I'm not talking. Talking occurs. Karta, I'm not karta like this. So all of this one becomes clear like this. Now what happens, though, is what then is burnt away like this? So all the karma pala will be burnt away. So karma pala meaning it's which of the three karma palas you remember? Three different types of karma we have, right? Samchita and agami and prarabdha. So samchita meaning all your savings, all those lifetimes you did, all the karma is sitting there. Right? Karma pala has to fructify. And then you have agami, what I'm doing now. Today, what I did so far, some karma was done, some karma pala is to happen, so that karma pala is there too. Some will manifest in this life, some will go into my savings and stay there, most of it, other life like this. Prarabdha, what is this life? Started in this life already. So this life started, so that's the third. So three parts of karma. One is the fully accumulated samchitta, one now that's already fructifying this life, prarabdha, one that as I'm doing actions now, agami being created. So all these are destroyed, you say. Now, what happens with their destruction is like this. The sanchita, we say, just like in the dream, the potential is to have how many more dreams afterwards? How many of under your belt? Endless. So samchitta can keep bringing how many lifetimes, how many, like this. But when you wake up, it's gone. So the samchitta then, it's said that it's like the seeds are burnt. They won't, because there's no individual to claim it. So it's as good as burnt, because the knowledge has burnt them away. They're not going to fructify to something else, they're not going to sprout. I need to identify with it. But I don't identify, so how is it mine, like this? You can't say it's mine because I don't identify with it. So then that one is gone. Agami, same thing, like samchitta, works same thing. Now the prarabdha, this life started. As we said, the jnani doesn't just disappear when they know. Since it's already started, it has to, the only way for samchitta to go, it's already started, it'll have to work itself out. Like if you have big companies like Monsanto, they come into a place and they give seed, you know, make sure that they make seed plants that don't give seeds, so that you have to have, right, get the seeds from them for the next round, how they've done this horrible thing around the world. Now, this thing though, okay, all the other plants, you know, or the seeds that they make, let's say, are worthless. So the next ones won't come, but the plant that's now growing, that one will still go through its cycle. Maybe it can't make new plants now from that one, but it'll still go through. So this lifetime will have to go through. You can't stop that. It's already set in motion. But what happens is, I'm not accelerating, meaning I'm not adding agami because I'm not doer. So yeah, so it'll go through, but it's not, it'll just play out as it needs to in this way. So this life only through, it has to be exhausted. So the karma, the jnani, you know, just like you and me are here, they're going to do things just like you and me. The only difference is there's no avidya, and from avidya causes myself to have some limited ideas, so pushes me to have certain desire, karma. I want things like this, I want like that expectation, so I do karma based on that. Avidya, karma, karma. I keep going, going. But then, yeah, whatever. Actions need to be done are done, but they know they're not the doer. So it just happens automatically. They know they're not the doer. So that's why this lifetime can't be avoided like this, but once they die, there's no individual anyway. So we saw jivan mukta when they're alive. When they die, we say videha mukta, because now there's no, they're just merging absolute. They already know they're absolute, and just this, you know, like last dream, or if you want, whatever. They know they're not this limited one, so it'll just play itself out. Now, one interesting thing about this, though, is, you know, we can't step into the shoes of the jnani unless we are jnanis ourselves. So we can't say, but from the jnani's perspective, from our perspective, we see it like this. From jnani's perspective, there is no individual, so there is no karma, so there also is no prarabdha from that one's perspective, because the prarabdha is also mithya, like this. So it's like if you're awake in the dream, you know it's just a dream. So from their perspective, they're not an individual anymore. So from their perspective, all the karmas are burnt, that karma too. And actually pointed out interestingly, in this verse it says, sarva karmani, all the karmas are burnt, right? And for Sanskrit people like Raji, karmani, right? Karmani is plural, not if it was, so some commentators say, well, if it was just samchitta and agami, it would have to be dual. Karma, karmani, karmani, something like this. It's karman. It's not ending. Karma, something like karma, karmani, karmani, something. I could be wrong with this, but it's dual. It's plural, not dual. Meaning three or more. So that's why some commentators say it's pointed to the prarabdha as well. But in any case, the important thing for here is if the jnani, they're identified with prarabdha as individual, meaning they're also not jnani, because they know they're not karta. You're not karta, you can't have prarabdha. So they know it's also mithya. So from their perspective, prarabdha is also mithya. You know, but yes, it's experience, but they know it for that it doesn't have substance like this. So from their perspective, they're freed from everything. Because not karta, not karta bhokta, I'm doer, experiencer, that's individual. I'm the conscious being, these things appear, that's jnanam. So everything as good as burnt away, because nothing will have substance for them, as good as burnt away like this. This is what's pointed out in this verse. Very, very famous one, this jnanagni. This term is taken from here and used in many places because of such a nice illustration to explain about, you know, what jnanam does, how it does. It burns away the ajnanam. Through the ajnanam, you know, it burns away the idea that I'm an individual, this limited thing. It burns away, burns away kartrutvam, burns away the desire, burns away the bhoktrutvam, enjoyership. So all those are gone. So some semblance will be there because the prarabdha plays out, but it's not like an individual like you and me, although externally the same, but internally very different in this way. So in this way, this is what's pointed out. in this verse here. So one commentator says then, from Prarabdha perspective, it's as good, it insulates against Prarabdha, the jnanam, like the shock absorber. Shock absorber insulates. So it insulates because, yes, even jnani, from their prarabdha, many things will come. Prarabdha karma mixed, some good things, some not. These things will come, but it insulates because they're not going to be disturbed by in that way that it's... you remember we had the measure, how that measure was. What did we call? FIR. Measure for how we're progressing. Frequency, intensity, recovery period. Frequency of disturbance, how intense it is, and how long it takes to like get over it. So we say the jnani, it's, you know, between what and so what, the time difference will be minimal. Something and very quickly like this, so very minimal. So as we progress, less frequently disturbance, less intense, right? And, you know, that doesn't last for as long. For jnani, it'll be very minimal because the still of this body here and everything, but the identity will be, you know, as good as not there, that it's not going to be able to really grab them like that. Let's finish with that for today. Om. 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 Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashivshyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Thank you very much. So next week we'll see in the plan to finish the fourth chapter. But from what I learned, both from how I people I learned from, acharyas I learned from, and then I saw practicing class, we plan on it, we'll see. Because some important point might be there, but we'll probably finish in 2 weeks, then we can move on to next chapter, it'll be nice. Very good.